Reno, I'm going to take you down some paths that kind of burn my heels a little bit with regard to the National Hockey League and the salary cap. But before I do that, let's tie a bow, because I haven't had the opportunity to speak to you since. Tie a bow on the Aho offer sheet and how you saw that all play out. Was your interpretation, I mean, obviously the Habs wanted the player, but was the offer sheet such that you sensed they were truly serious about it? Because Carolina matched, and really it wasn't in question the moment the offer sheet was signed.
Totally. And obviously there's a say, perception is the reality. But in this case, I think there's more gray zone, honestly. If you look at Jerry Johansson, the agent of Sebastian Aho, let's say he told Marc Bergevin, if you want to hit a home run, the only way to do it is, let's say, a contract, 5 years with a 10.5 AAV. It would have been normal for Jerry Johansson to say that to Marc Bergevin. You know why? First of all, his client would have been richer. And second of all, Jerry Johansson would have made way more money, obviously, than he did with the contract that Sebastian Aho now signed with the Hurricanes. I think if you look at the big picture, obviously there were discussions between Sebastian Aho's agent, Jerry Johansson, and Marc Bergevin to make sure that offer sheet will be favorable for the Montreal Canadiens. And so you need to work hand-in-hand with the agent. If you're not working hand-in-hand with the agent, what's going to happen is this. The player is going to reject the offer. That's the way it goes. So in Jerry Johansson's mind, it was not, you didn't have to put more money on the table for the Hurricanes not to match. The thinking was quite simple. With that offer, there was a really good chance that the Hurricanes would say no. Why? Because, first of all, they hate signing bonuses. Mm-hmm. And if you look at that contract, it's more than 90% that are with signing bonuses. I don't think it was not about he can't pay because he doesn't have the money. That was not what it was about. It was more about a philosophy of the enterprise that they don't do that. And if you've been told many times that we're not giving any of our players signing bonuses, we're not doing that. Like I mentioned, more than 90% of that contract are with signing bonuses. There's a good chance that, you know what, they're going to say, hey, we hate that contract for many reasons. One of the reason is we don't give signing bonuses to any of our players. I'm pretty sure that's been told a lot, and they expected that contract not to be matched. It didn't matter the AAV at the end of the day. It didn't matter it was 10.5. There's no difference if you look at the first 2 years. Let's say if you look at the first 2 years of the contract, the signing bonuses are around $21 million. Do you really think that for Mr. Dundon, if it was instead of $21 million, it was $25 million, that he would have said no to that? It doesn't matter. It's not a question of money. I think it was more a question of the philosophy of the enterprise, the Hurricanes enterprise, the way they're building their team, the way they think that money should be given to the players. And in a way, they failed. I mean, Sebastian Aho for 24 hours was supposed to be a Montreal Canadian. It was a Montreal Canadiens player for 24 hours. But obviously, the Hurricanes match. So the gamble that Jerry Johansson and Marc Bergevin took, failed in a way. Was it a good gamble? I don't think there's nothing wrong with doing it. The only problem is you're not getting the player that you really wanted at the end of the day. Let's say the Hurricanes would have said, you know what, we hate that contract. That's not the way we do things here. Let's say there was an ego part, and, you know, they would have rejected that offer sheet. Mark Bergevin today would look like a genius probably. But it's not, and I'm not saying he's not. I'm just saying that he took a chance. It didn't pay off. But if you're not taking any chances in life, you're not gonna go far. And I really understand the perception of the people, but at the end of the day, they tried, and that was for them the best offer for the Hurricanes not to match. They did match. Now we're gonna focus on something else, I'm pretty sure, in a few days.
No question about it, Renaud. And I mean, I think in part, you've got a set of players that you like who are restricted free agents playing for other teams. You're looking to attack a particular organization who you think may have vulnerabilities that others don't. Yeah. And Renaud Lavoie of TVF Sports is with us on Sportsnet today, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. The follow-up to that is, you know, we sit here now on July 11th, Mitch Marner, Kyle Connor, yeah, and Patrick Laine in Winnipeg, Matthew Tkachuk in Calgary. Do you anticipate, and I understand there's a new CBA negotiation coming up in a couple of years at the very latest. Do you anticipate an increasing trend here in RFAs not getting deals done until well into the summer, maybe into training camp, and heaven forbid there are a few more Nylander-type situations out there going forward? Or do you think all of these players get settled in a reasonable period of time, either with their own teams or with offer sheets down the road?
I don't believe in offer sheets. That's my personal view, okay? Because technically they were all match. I don't see any offer sheets being given. I could be totally wrong, but with what happened with Sebastian Aho, and if you look at the other players that you mentioned, the expectations are that everybody's going to be match. I mean, you have to look at the big picture, and even if we think that it's a good tool for the organization, in a way, it is a good tool, but it's not working. So you're taking a chance, and obviously it's not a big risk, but it's a risk of wasting a lot of time. And I don't think that it's a good avenue. But that being said, your question is really good, because there's kind of a clash right now, okay, between RFAs and UFAs. Mitch Marner's trying to get a new deal. You know, Laine is trying to get a new deal. All those big time players are trying to get big money, and they don't want bridge contract. They hate it. They think that those young players should go from their rookie contract to $8 million per for 8 years, if not more. If you look at the AAV, so if you're doing that, obviously, because of the cap system, you're going to pay less money for UFA players. They're going to have less value because they're older, probably, and because you don't really know those players. I mean, there's Sidney Crosby. He's never going to hit the market, right? It's never going to happen. Those players are unique. So now you're looking at what you have, and you have to think, am I spending too much money on one player that never won the Stanley Cup, didn't really prove himself, even if we know he's a good player? There's a lot of question marks, but there's a clash between those young RFAs that want money right now and the UFA players that are trying to get the maximum in return, but it's impossible. Something's got to give. You're in a cap system where the cap is not going as high as it's supposed to, and that's a real problem. For me, the real problem is, and I understand why it's there, the rookie contract, the rookie cap, that 3 years with, like, the signing bonuses at 92.5 I should say, yeah, 92.5 thousand per year. I mean, what is that?
Yeah.
The maximum bonuses that you can get, okay, you can't get 3 million, 3.4, I guess, the maximum. That's not a lot of money for a number, you know, a big-time player. So that's why they want to be paid right now. When they're out of that rookie cap system, they want to be paid right now. Can we blame them?
Well,
can we blame? I don't think so.
Renaud, it's not just looking back, it's looking ahead. And they're keenly aware, if they're not stupid, that sports science data and the analytics are saying when you're 29, you're old. Now, that's
exactly
garbage, but it is the prevailing opinion. And it is salary suppression. So you are going to pay me from age 21 to 28 because if you tell me I'm too old at 29 and I haven't cashed in, I'm the loser here.
Yes, and that's the bottom line. Because that's what the GM thinks, maybe rightly so, or maybe they're wrong. But perception, again, is reality. They think that at 29 years old, your career is behind you, that you're not going to perform at the level that you were performing. And that's a problem. That's a problem, like you mentioned, for the younger players because they want to be paid right now. And that's the problem for the guys like who are coming out of, you know, and they have the chance to, for the first time in their career, maybe at 26, 27, 28, to go at the free agent market and get the maximum that they wanted. Like in the good old days, but the good old days are done. It's over. So that's for me, I understand that what the owners wants right now is for the players to say, you know what, we like that CBA. Let's sign it right now. Let's sign an extension and forget about everything else. But there are still some issues. There are still some issues, and it's been told to me even, you know, during the 2012 lockout that those young players are making too much money after their rookie contract. Well, you're not going to cap those players after going out of a rookie contract that was capped, I mean, to a number that for me is not real compared to the real money that sometimes those young players should make. And if you're looking to other sports, maybe at the exception of baseball, I mean, those guys are signing big-time money when they're just being drafted in the first round. But it's a good system for the owners, but you need to understand, don't blame the young players if they want to be paid right off the get-go after that.
No chance.
They have the right to do that. And if you want to mess with that, that's going to create more problems, I think. So hopefully it's kind of going to say the same, but if they want to, I don't know, throw a little bit more money on the rookie contracts, why not? Maybe it's going to help the USA players when it's going to be time for them to be paid a little more. We'll see. But obviously, like I mentioned, there's a cap system there. So if you're giving more money to the younger players, obviously the older players aren't going to get less. So maybe that's not resolving the problem.
Well, and it just blows my mind, Renaud, that 12, 14, maybe 15 years ago, probably before 04, 05, we lived in a world where you didn't hit unrestricted free agency in the National Hockey League until age 31. The fact that we that was only 15 years ago blows my mind. Here's and Renaud Lavoie of TVA Sports is with us, Sportsnet Today, Scott MacArthur, Tim Leeper, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. That's the pro trying to do a reset in the middle of in between hot takes. Here is something that has been burning me for a while, Renaud, and that is this. The team that drafts and develops well, and I think we acknowledge that the Toronto Maple Leafs have been one of those teams in the last number of years. The Matthews, the Marners, the Nylanders of the world, and others are suddenly getting capped out before they've even really accomplished anything on the ice in the same league that allows a crap franchise like the Arizona Coyotes to take on dead cap and no real money, Pavel Datsyuk, Marian Hossa, Chris Pronger, so that they can stay afloat. I mean, I get it. It's the rules. it offends the hell out of me.
It's a problem. It's obviously a big problem. But do the league really want to take care of that problem? The PA wants to take care of that problem? I don't know. I don't feel it. I feel like if there's an extension to that CBA, there won't be big adjustment to that, because it helps in a way teams that need help, let's be honest here. And it helps probably the big printing money machine teams that want to get rid of contracts to make sure that they're not going to lose some advantage when it's going to be time to sign players. So is that a fair way to do business in a cap system? We can ask that question. Probably the honest answer to that is no. If you're Marian Alsaw and he's playing for the Blackhawks and he's saying that he can't play anymore, well, he has to stay on with your franchise. He was playing for your franchise. But, you know, they're using, I guess, some gray zone, or it's not even a gray zone. You can't do it. You have the right to do something like that, to trade that contract, give something else in return, and to make sure that, you know, you're going to be capable of go on and do the business like Marian Alsaw was healthy and being traded to another team. That wouldn't happen, by the way, if Marian Alsaw would have been healthy. He would have never been traded by the Blackhawks. But that's the reality. That's the way they're playing games. Are they gonna put a lot of minutes when they're gonna have real discussion about the next CBA, about that quote unquote problem? I'm not convinced because in a way, that's what the Coyotes wants. That's what the Blackhawks of this world wants. Those teams. That in a way they like that system, but to say that everybody's playing on the same field after, not that convinced that it's true. But that being said, I mean, we saw a budget team like the Hurricanes playing the third round this year. It was a great story. There's always some great stories, and it's part of, I guess, what we like about hockey. There is some situations that are not perfect, but at the end of the day, is it really changing the way the games are being played? No. The games is being played on the ice. It's just that you have a floor. You want to get to the floor. Somebody is struggling to go to the floor, and that's why they're taking advantage of it. It's okay. But I don't think it's going to change much.